Okay, Rabosai, we have a lot to do. Simon Shin Mem, as you see, hopefully everyone got the schedule. We're going to do a little more Bikias, and try to cover. It's easier to do in Bikias in Hilchos Avelos because, as you see already from the structure of the page, there's a lot of Bikias and less Iyun Siv from Shulchan Aruch. We'll try to get science ones that are. Start with Hilchos Kriya Shin Mem. Mi shemeis lo meis. V'humi ha-meisim she-roilis abel olehem, which will be explained later on in some Mishnah 9 Dalet, chayav likroa olav. Right, you have to hear kriya, we all know this. And start shi-yikro me'umad, right? Some of Fush Gemara, that you have to tear me'umad, v'yum kar me'yushav lo yatzta. Shad of the Gemara is that it was a precious tor sitting by accident and tor again. A simple pshat is that it's ma'akev, so that's machlokes rishonim. But we paskin like the simple pshat in the Gemara that it's ma'akev. If someone does not stand up, then they have to tear again, as the Rama adds, v'tzarech laksor v'likroa. Ulechatchila tzarech likroa kodem sheyistom pnei ames. Lechatchila, when does the kriya have to be? There's a phrase in the Gemara talking about shas chimum. Chimum is when you are, agitated. Right? Worked up. The Iker Shas Chimam is from the time of death until the time of Stimas Hagola, so you just don't play a mace, meaning when they close up the mace underground, when they cover the mace in the kever, that's the Iker time of Kriya. We'll see, but yeah, you can do Kriya later. When is the Minhag to do Kriya? So, The Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch, earlier talks about doing kriya b'shas yitzias neshama. When the relative dies, if someone's with their father and their father dies, they do kriya. Then the minhag nowadays is right. What is it? You might even have to turn your page. In the previous siman siv gimel. Right? If you say, the person says, Baruch Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Dayan Ha'emes, as soon as the relative dies, and then when they get the words Dayan Ha'emes, they tear Kriya. Nowadays, that is, even though that's sort of the most lechachila time to tear Kriya, nowadays most people don't tear Kriya. The general minig is not to tear Kriya, b'shas tzias neshama. Just because a lot of people don't know the halachas of Kriya and they'll do it wrong, and not everyone's a rabbi. And therefore, the minhag is that people tear Kriya at the funeral, because at the funeral there's always a rabbi officiating who can make sure that they tear Kriya correctly. Lechatchila, it has to be kodem sheyistom pnei ames. Sometime between death and sheyistom pnei ames. Correct. And the lechatchila is before yistom pei ames. Within that, the biggest shas chimam is the best kiyum of the mitzvah. The biggest shas chimam is either when the relative dies or at the funeral. And when the relative dies is the best, because we see it in Mefurish in the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Shin Lamed Tes Siv Gimel. Second best at the funeral. The minhag nowadays is the second best at the funeral. It's all within the lechatchila. Before the burial, because then the rabbi can tell them how to do it.
What if somebody is knowledgeable about the halachos and is there, but...
Then they should probably tear Kriya and say, Dayan Emes, then. Aga, I'll just point out, there's an important shach here in Sif Gimel, who says, L'el Siman Shin Lamates Sif Gimel Nisbar Dishim Agil Dayan Emes Korea Ha'avel. What's the chiddush of the shach? If it's Shin Lamates Sif Gimel, which, if we had been going Shulchan Aruch in order, or Chaim or Day, etc., we would have just seen it a few lines ago. Chiddush is that was talking about the Shas Tzias Neshama. Says Shach, at any time, even if it's at the funeral, the minhag is, it's not a din in the Gemara, the Gemara never links these two, but the minhag is to tear Kriya at the time we say, Baruch Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Dayan Ha'emes, meaning the fellow says, Dayan Ha'emes, and after the word Emes, tears. That is the minhag nowadays, that whenever they do the Kriya, whether it's Shas Tzias Neshama or the minhag nowadays at the funeral, they do the kriya together with the bracha of Dayan HaEmes. That's a minhag. It's not a din, but that is the minhag. Agav, maybe we should have introduced with the shach in Sifkat and Beis here, says the shach midrabanan v'asvechua akra. The Gemara darshins kriya from a pasuk. Anyone have any reason right now to be familiar with that pasuk? Right, it's today's Aliyah in Parsha Shmini. Right, what does Hashem tell Aaron and his sons? Big dechem lo, roshechem. Sorry, lo sifro. Big dechem lo sifro. Was that okay if I do without the trump? Roshechem lo sifro. Big dechem lo sifro. Move lo samusu. Don't grow your hair long. That's later. Don't tear your clothing. He makes an exception. Basically, they didn't do a veil shalom. Don't tear your clothing and you won't die. What's the diuk? The diuk is that if you, Aaron, and Itamar and Elazar, don't tear kriya, you won't die. But a regular guy whose relative dies, he doesn't tear kriya, is chayv misa b'dei shamayim. And therefore they say, whoever doesn't tear kriya for the relative is chayv misa b'dei shamayim, explains the shach here, and this is the, almost all the Rishonim agree, this is all an asmachta b'alma. Really, it's only chiv d'rabbanim, this is asmachta b'alma, it's not a real chiv misa b'dei shamayim. It just means whoever violates the dinim drabanan is, you know, has some level of onesh and shamayim on them. But we assume it's only a din drabanan, not a din de oraisa. Okay, anything else? Oh, other details in this that come up in this seif. If you look in the Pesachei Tshuva, Sifkan Aleph, he has a Birkei Yosef. Says kol kriya tov shatiel de acher demisbayish menu. It is good. Again, this is all the matter of minhagim, not a din. It is good that someone else tear the oval's clothing because it's more busha and more agmas nefesh. He says, okay, that is the Birkei Yosef in the name of Mari Malcho in his tshuvos. And then he adds, but if the friend tears too much, then he's chayv to pay him for the nezek. Okay, nowadays, once you tear clothing a little, we throw it out. Like all these halachas about how you sew it up and when and et cetera, we're in a very, very different era, you know, with a totally different economy. Even the discussion later on, at the end of this Pesachei Tshuva, he says, even yourself, the oval shouldn't tear more than necessary because of al pashkis. I don't think that applies nowadays. Nowadays, once you tear clothing, it goes in the garbage. I don't think it's al pashkis. They tear too many tefachim on the clothing. Anyway, let me just point out, do we follow this Birkei Yosef?
Yeah.
Half. On the one hand, the Birkei Yosef says, there's more agmas nefesh and busha for someone else to tear the oval's clothing. On the other hand, so the achronim say, what's a rule? Kriya is a mitzvah. Anyone know a rule about mitzvahs?
Mitzvah
Yosef Mishlucha. And therefore, the minhag nowadays is to do both. Meaning the rabbi starts the kriya, and the avel finishes it. That way, we're mekayim both of them. That's the, again, this is all a matter of minhag. The minhag nowadays is that at the funeral, the rabbi starts the kriya. It's also good, because, like, you know, that way, like, it's, you know, the avel doesn't have to, like, know what he's doing. Once the rabbi starts, the oval can't really get it wrong. All right, so it also works out very well. Right, if the rabbi starts, the oval just goes down from there. And they don't have to know halachas. They don't have to know how to follow instructions. They just have to continue. But that's the minute. The rabbi starts with Mekayim Mitzvah Yosef, and the oval finishes with Mekayim Mitzvah Yosef Mi Bishlucho. Obviously, when I say the rabbi starts, that means if it's a male avel, if it's a female avel, then it's not sneeze for the rabbi to start ripping her clothing, but the rabbi instructs, you know, another woman, you know, who's involved in the family or whatever to start, and they finish themselves. Okay, Sif. So much for Sif Aleph. In Sif Beis, we say, Makom HaKriya B'chol Makom HaBeis HaTzavar L'fanav, right? What is the... It's a machlokes, chacham or mihudu. Yeah.
I'm curious, in terms of kriya as a close enough, do you apply a similar din of having someone else start it as soon as possible?
No, that minhag, again, this is a minhag. The minhag is only for an avel. Lo aleinu, everything lo aleinu. I'm at the kotel, you do it yourself. There's a machlokes tanan, chacham versus Rabbi Yehuda, whether you can tear from the sides or only from the top. We pass like chum only from the top. Makam akriya become makam v'satzavar lefanav. Avon kara la'achrav abushuli abeged. O min hatzdadim lo yatsa. You're only yotze kriya from the front of the neck. But from the back of the neck, going down your back, or from the bottom, going up, or from the sides of the garment, going sideways, you're not yotze. It's only a, you're only yotze from the neck. Exactly where, on the neck is not 100% clear. The Torah and the Beis Yosef dealt with, what about the sides of the neck? Right? And he's been dyed to the Ramban that, it has to be the front of the neck, not the sides of the neck. The Achronim assumed that, no, because the Achronim assumed that because of the Mechavashat Makam, Yom HaMakam, Vizat Sover, Lefanav, even though he says Hola Achrav, seemingly leaving out the sides, since he says Lefanav, the assumption it has to be dafka at the front of the neck, not the sides of the neck. And that's what, if you ever seen anyone tear Kriya, it's always on the front, not on the sides, not on their shoulders, or on their back, and it's always from the top down, not from the side sideways or the bottom up. Now, this is a machlokas tanoim, and therefore the Rama says, "V'yeshom or sheyotzei korei b'shulei beged." Some people say you're yotzei even if you tear from the bottom. That clearly is not as much of a financial sacrifice. V'chein nagul hakel korei b'shulei ha beged shekorin al shar meisim sheimis avlum leim. What's the minhag Ashkenaz that they're makel to tear from the bottom on other mesim, a non-relative, so not chayiv and avelos, we'll see whether we actually have the minhag to tear on non-relatives. But if one has the minhag to tear on non-relatives, then the minhag Ashkenaz we may kill to tear from the bottom and be somech on the minority. She's in the tanaim of Rabbi Yehuda. But when there's a sort of chiyuv gomer on relatives, then you have to tear from the top of the garment, and that is the minhag. One additional chumrah from the Pesachei Tshuvas of Gan Beis, very important. Lemaisa, Pesachei Tshuva Beis, because of chachmas adam kal kufnon beis din beis b'shem radvaz, v'chein im kara l'ruch v'beged lo yotzav, neshe inira shakara el inira shenikra me'atzmo. Okay, I'm not so convinced that I fully understand the logic here, but the psak is an accepted psak. What's the chiddush of this Pesachei Tshuva? Even if someone starts from the neckline, but if they tear sideways instead of down, then that's the chiddush of Pesachei Tshuva, according to the Chachmas Adam, according to the Ravaz, they're not yotzei, has to start from the front of the neckline, and not, lo aleinu, not start from here and go sideways, but start from here and go down. Okay, the logic is that if it goes sideways, it looks like it was an accidental tear. If it goes down, it looks like it was a purposeful tear. I don't fully understand why that is in our clothing, but nonetheless, certainly nowadays that would be true. If someone tore downwards, it would look like they were tearing Kriya. If it tore sideways, it would look so weird. Maybe it wouldn't look like they tore Kriya, and therefore one should tear downwards.
What do you have to do by the base of Tzavar? Meaning, is this like from the collar or the hem of the shirt or anywhere along the top?
It's a fascinating question, like what exactly is Beit HaTzavar? How about our button-down shirts? In our button-down shirts, exactly what is Beit HaTzavar? I think that, if you're a chassid, then probably it has to be from here, right? Because otherwise it's always buttoned. If you are modern Orthodox, then it could be like, or yeshivish, it could be from here to here, like this whole V, because that's not the side, that's the top. If you are Israeli modern Orthodox, you get one extra button, kayadua, and I will demonstrate. I'm still too American. Kach Nirolin is dite, even though I haven't seen anyone explicitly discuss it. What about a jacket? What about a suit jacket? There's no neck per se on a suit jacket. A suit jacket would be one would tear down, again, lo aleinu, from the sort of inside of the from the outside. The chorob would tear from the inner part of the lapel downwards.
I know I'm jumping the gun. So do you tear a suit jacket?
You're jumping the gun.
I actually would say cutting it out.
Oof. Two for two, Zach. Okay. Sif Gimel. Shir Kriya Tefach. How long, how far down does one have to go? A tefach, here we're talking about other than parents, as we'll see. Bim karal mesa bal hosa bosu bim mites acher. What if someone tore their garment for one mace, and then another relative dies, and they have to tear again? Im acher shiva saga. This will be repeated later in the simon saga b'kol shuv im u'mutok shiva tzarich tefach. If it is after shiva, they can just tear a little further down, another kol shuv. If it is during the Shiva, then they have to tear another entire tefach, meaning either go another tefach down or start again somewhere on the side and tear a new tefach. However, for Aviv V'Imo, whether it is, you know, the first time, whether it is their father died and then their mother died within Shiva, or their father died then their mother died after Shiva, it doesn't matter. One has to tear until all the way down to below the heart, till they reveal their heart to below the heart. Much more than a tefach. Okay, there's a bit of a lumdus here. Why is it that if someone's relative dies, then another relative dies? If it's during Shiva, they have to tear a new tefach. And if it's not during Shiva, then they only have to add a kol shuv lechora. Lechora, there is some din here of maisa, and totsah. Perhaps the maisa of kriya is enough to just do any kriya. But there has to be a totsah of a kara that is a tefach. And therefore, if a month ago someone's brother died and they tore a tefach, and now their sister died, they just have to do a mice of a kriyas kol shuv. That's a mice of kriya. And now they have 1.1 tefach of a totsah. While if it's still within Shiva, then lechora, even though we'll see, the person doesn't have to wear the torn garment all Shiva, but that totsah is still necessary for the first mace, for the first dead relative. And therefore, if they tear a little now of 1.1 tefachim, what do you mean? They're now within Shiva of two relatives. They need a double totsah of two tefachim. Therefore, they have to tear another tefach. Look, all right, that's what's going on. And the maaser kriya could be any amount, but there has to be a totsah of a kriya tefach. And if it's during Shiva of one relative and now the other relative dies, then they need a totsah of two tefachim because both relatives are currently within Shiva.
A couple of questions to clarify with the parents. So, first of all, Achi Galad Libo, that's not only the number of garments.
We'll get to it.
Okay, and second of all, you always need to do a new one?
Yeah, we'll get to that also. Okay, you've jumped three guns so far.
The more time, the longer the gap between the first and second death, the less you need to do, or the more you need to do?
The less you need to do. If someone's in the middle of Shiva for their brother and their sister dies, they need an entirely new tefach. They already got up from Shiva for their brother and their sister died, then they just need to tear a little more. On the same shirt. What?
I mean, until what?
Whenever. If they save the shirt 10 years later.
So go back to the jacket point, you can tear at the lapel, like the flap that folds down?
From the inside of it.
So you start from the inside, but you could tear just like the lapel part.
Sorry, I meant like on the lapel, but you tear like... it's interesting, like... I've seen people do different things. I think the correct thing. No one has a suit jacket. No one came to shear with a suit jacket. This is very modernish of us. Okay, let's assume, for the sake of argument, that Yehuda Dov had lent his suit jacket to someone else who became an avel. So what I meant without getting into whether or not you tear a suit jacket, let's assume yes for now, which you've probably seen people do. What I meant is you would. The Beis HaTzavar would be sort of this, and you would go from here and tear like both layers. You would go from here and tear downward a tefach. I don't think one should go from here and tear downward just on the lapel. One has to go from the inside and tear downward, which would then mean tearing through two layers at the same time. Okay.
Why isn't that or coming up?
Because I think that's more like the nefsadin. It's not the neckline, it's the side. So it seems to be the next side. And that's also what I've seen people do.
What were you saying about inside?
What?
Were you saying like inside the lapel?
No, what I meant is from the side that is not give me that back, please. Sorry.
It's very well.
It actually does work very well. very impressive. What I meant is not from here.
Oh.
That's more like Menat Stadim, but rather from here, which is more like the base Tatsafer.
Can one do this Kriya with a...
Not bad. Shatn is free. Sorry. Hmm. Okay.
Okay, we don't need it anymore.
Can one do this Kriya with a clean?
Ah, we'll get to it. Okay. Yes, yes, you had a shliach do it for you. Okay, se'if dalet k'shem shekorei. Okay, this is a again the story. I think it was Rav Sheshis, if I'm not mistaken, in the Gemara. K'shem shekorei al krovo shemes abel love kachorei b'fnei krovo meis shemes likrovo. Right, this is it's a little known halacha, but al pidina de Gemara there is secondary avelos and secondary kriya. That meaning if someone's relative's relative passed away, they have kriya and avilus for them. But only in one condition. Ketzad, harishamis ben beno achi beno, right? Someone's second degree relative, their son's sons or their son's brother, meaning from a different parent. Ein beno or their son's mother, who obviously they're not married to anymore, otherwise it'll be a first degree relative. Chayav likroa bifnei beno, but only befanav. Meaning, only when you're in the presence of that bridge, there is a chiyuv. So if someone's grandson passes away, someone's grandfather passes away, right? More of an everyday occurrence. Someone's grandfather passes away, they only have to do kriya if they're in the room with their father. And what if it is a non-blood relative? What if it's just someone's brother-in-law, sister-in-law, stepson, stepdaughter, mother-in-law, father-in-law? Likewise, his father-in-law or mother-in-law, the diuk is, I think the shach says, but not brother-in-law, sister-in-law, stepson, stepdaughter. That's not a close enough relation. A relative through marriage is not close enough, unless it's someone's father-in-law or mother-in-law when they have a special obligation to honor them. And likewise, the wife for her father-in-law or mother-in-law. So this is the halacha that one has to tear kriya for a relative's relative, when they're in the presence of that middle relative. The only exception being, if it's my other relative's relative, then it doesn't matter which. If it's someone's spouse's relative, then only if it's the spouse's parents. And what does this mean, halacha l'maisa? Then I'll take the questions. And that's the din of the Gemara. There's no one who argues, no machlokes. But nowadays, the minhag is we don't do it, which is why you've never seen anyone do it in your entire life. Nowadays, the minhag is not to do it. Why? What do you mean nowadays, the minhag is not to do it? How can we just say the minhag is not to do what it says in the Gemara? Truth is, there are many halachas where this question is much harder to answer in halachas avelos. Halachas avelos is actually maybe even unique in terms of how many things in the Gemara we don't do. But this one is easy to explain why we don't do. We'll get to some other explanations later. Why don't we do this anymore? So it says later in Shinayin Dalid, because it's a lumdish question. Let's say, right, someone's roommate's grandfather passes away. So he has to cure kriya, but only if he's in his father's in the room with his father. So what does that prove? It's not that he has a chiyuv kavod of his grandfather to cure kriya, because then he would do it regardless. It's a chiyuv kavod for his father to empathize with his suffering. That his father's relative passed away, so to empathize with his father's suffering, he cures kriya. So it's a chiyuv to the living relative, not a chiyuv to the dead relative. If so, if there's a chiyuv that I owe to the lit, someone owes to the living relative, then it's nita l'mechila. Then only if someone's grandfather, only if their father wants him to empathize with him, he has to cure kriya. If their father's mochel, then he doesn't want him to empathize with him, then he doesn't have to cure kriya. I mean, he wants to empathize. He doesn't want him to empathize in that way. And therefore, the assumption is, nowadays, since the minhag is that no one does that, that proves that everyone's mochel nowadays, and since, again, it's a chiyuv, not klape the dead grandfather. It's a chiyuv klape the father. That's why the person only does it in the room in the father's presence. Therefore, it's an umdina that everyone's mochel nowadays, and that's why we don't practice it.
The Gemara in the father's presence,
when you get a loser in general? Anytime during the Shiva.
What if somebody says, I'm not mochel, or they bakla daito eitzabot?
I think we say but Adam. I don't know. What if they? And then we tell them that the kind of Orthodox Judaism we believe in is that you should be normal. And you shouldn't be different than everyone else in the entire world. I think that's a more important use than Kriya.
I think because of the Rakshasa hunt. Please, I don't care.
Yeah, okay. What?
Is that a little insensitive?
Say nicely?
Yeah, say it nicely. Okay. Okay. Sif, hey. Okay, now we move from relatives to other people. This is all based on the Gemara in Moed Katan about Kriya on Chol HaMoed, and it discusses, you know, who you're Korea for, who you're not Korea, and it says only relatives, and they say, well, what about this case, what about that case, what about that case? It goes to all the non-relatives you have to your Korea for. And that's Se'ifim, Hey, Vav, Zayin, Ches, are the four categories of non-relatives that one has to tier kriya for. And you ever see anyone tier kriya for a non-relative? Anyone ever see anyone tier kriya for a non-relative?
They grew bang for their rabbi.
Interesting. So we'll
I've heard the story about the Reichman at the Rav Spina.
So we'll have to figure out, based on the Se'ifim, one of the mysteries will be, we have to solve ourselves in the Achronim, why we don't really see it so much if there's four long Se'ifim Shulchan Aruch about it. Se'if 1, Ha'omi b'shas itzias neshama shel ish ob isha miyisrael chayv l'kro. If someone is a mamish there when a Jew dies, they have to tear kriya. Someone's mamish there when a Jew dies, they have to tear kriya, even if the Jew is not a tzaddik. As long as they are a citizen in good standing of the Jewish religion. It says, even if they sometimes do an avera because they have a desire, they don't do mitzvahs when it's too hard. Even if they're not the starkest person ever, but they're a regular from Jew, even if they're not a big tzaddik. You know, they don't go to minyan when they want to sleep late. Maybe they don't even get up for Zman Kriya Shema when they want to sleep late. But they, you know, generally they're from Yid. Nonetheless, they're still a Jew. As our Mavalam, Ragulaso Savir Amos Avalon Love, that is if someone sometimes, that's, I mean, the Diyot Mechaber, because they're still from. What if someone always does an Avera, then they're called a Mummer, even though they're only called a Mummer Ledaber Echad. A Mummer Ledaber Echad is a Rasha. It's not as bad as being a Mummer Lekala Tarkula, but nonetheless, for a Rasha, then we don't have to Tirkriya if we are there when they pass away. The Kolshian Amomolo was government. For sure, if someone shmadid, they converted to another religion, then Pasha, they're a big Rasha, and we don't Tirkriya for them. Okay, before we get to the Rishayim, let's leave the Rishayim for a second and stick to the original case. What does the Gemara say? Why does one have to Tirkriya if one is there when a Jew dies? Because it's like... It's like seeing a Sefer Torah burnt, right? This is one of the most famous drushes of the Rav, that a Jew is compared to a Sefer Torah and Ayin Sham, published in the Beis Yosef Shol, I think, in Yiddish and Hebrew. It's probably been published in English somewhere. But what does it mean a Yid is like a Sefer Torah? We will discuss a bit Kitzer Nimrutz. What does it mean a Yid is like a Sefer Torah? What does Rashi say?
They can learn more Torah.
Rashi say because they can learn Torah. So, right, it's Dome Lesefer Torah. Shen Nisra says Rashi that this Jew can learn Torah, even if he's not a big Talmud Chacham, because that's Sif Zayin. Nonetheless, the Jew can learn Torah based on this Rashi. What nafgamina might come out of this Rashi? What? Based on this Rashi, perhaps this will only be true of a man, not a woman. After all, now that's not what it says in the Mechaber, right? The Mechaber says ish o isha, but based on Rashi, you might say only an ish is chayv in Talmud Torah, not an isha. Obviously, we don't. The Shulchan Aruch is apostling him. The Shulchan Aruch seems to rather apostle like the Ramban. What does the Ramban say? What?
A tragic comparison.
It's just precious. I think that's his main point, right? A Sefer Torah is precious, and a Yid is precious. It has nothing to do with learning Torah per se. It's just an expression of something very precious, right? What's the most precious thing we have? A Sefer Torah, right? And it's a Mefurish Frisco kid. Ask your grandparents. They know this movie. That a Yid is even more precious than a Sefer Torah. So says the Ramban, just that a Jew is precious There
were a lot of halakhically incorrect things in that movie, so I wouldn't think Raya was the...
I wasn't really bringing Raya for the movie. I was just recommending it.
Like Shabbos, I think it's so bad.
Yeah, the Seder, okay, fine. In general, don't paskin halachas. Okay, just in case anyone misunderstood, you should not paskin halachas for movies. But it was a cute movie. You admit.
As Jim Wilder's always great.
Yeah. The Taz here quotes in Sivkat and Beis. Red Taz here quotes in Sivkat and Beis from the Maharshal, who's based on Rashi and Maharam and the Rush, who says no means every Jew is full of Torah and mitzvos. Right? So the Maharshal, Al Pi Rishonim, based on Rashi Elser, says no, full of Torah Umitzvos. Okay, what might the nafkamina be? The nafkamina might be that according to Rashi, you might say, well, only someone's chayv in Talmud Torah. Maybe. Ish v'lov isha. According to the Maharshal, every Jew is full of Torah mitzvos. Is every Jew full of Torah mitzvos? How about a?
Katan.
How about a? And here it's unclear where he's cutting it. If he's 12 years and... Now we should say 12 months and 29 days old. Or does he mean like a katan if he's 2 years old? Like, how is he full of Torah mitzvos? But, you know, maybe he means like a little katan, as they suggest. But he says a gadol, whether man or woman, but below a gadol and not a katan, at least a katan. As the Taz quotes from the Bach, a katan who hasn't started learning yet, right? Who didn't start learning chumash yet? A gadol below, you know, a small child, right? What might you come out of this? But according to the Ramban, that a Jew is precious. What kind of Jewish is precious? Choral, what difference does it make how old you are or what gender you are, right? This would be everyone. That is a fascinating question. I'm not sure what the Ramban would say. That is a great question. It's not enough to mean it was manazah. There's a guy named Abraham Lincoln. What might we paskin with this? We clearly reject Rashi. Because the Mechaber says ish o isha specifically to reject Rashi. In the Ber Heitev Sivkat and Hey, quoted from the Ber Heitev Sivkat and Hey, quoted from the Radvaz, right? Remember the Ber Heitev, he only adds something if there's parentheses as a general rule. Over Sefer Erech Lechem, cause here there's parentheses, Shem Radvaz, Koran even on a katan but not a katana. A katan but not a katana. What's pshat? L'chor a katan because he's chayv in Talmud Torah when he grows up. And an isha gedola because she's full of Torah mitzvahs, but a katana, she's basically, it's a combination of these two, right? An adult woman qualifies for the Marshal. A young boy qualifies for Rashi, but a young girl qualifies for neither. So this is the combination of the Radvaz, quoted by the Erech Lechem, quoted by the Bar Heitev. Ish, Isha, Vikata. Okay. Halacha lemaisa. I don't know what really halacha lemaisa. We'll get to the halacha lemaisa. You know, what it means, halacha lemaisa, in a moment. But if you look in the Pesachet Shuva Gimel, he quotes from the Ayin O... one second, where was this? Ayin B'Sefer Tefillah Moshe, in the parentheses. Umisham Muchach Nami Degam Alaktan, according to Lokor Advaz, the tefillah of Moshe would be like the
Is it two Lamosha
like
or Tiferes Lamosha?
There's two Svarim.
Okay.
There's a... Oh, the truth is this one might be the Tiferes Lamosha. There's two different Svarim. Right. This one might be the Tiferes Lamosha. There's two Svarim. This one might be the Tiferes Lamosha. In any case, Lachor, we hold like the Tiferes Lamosha. I think most of the modern Svarim, to the extent that we hold like it, hold like the Tiferes Lamosha, that we go right through Ramban, and therefore all Jews count equally. Just give me one more second. But, Halacha Lamaisa... if you look in the Das Torah, the Maharsham here, or in the Stechemed, or in some of the other later Svarim, they say that nowadays people don't do this halacha in any case. Even people, let's say people work in hospitals, where there b'shas tzias hashama a lot, they don't care when a Jew dies b'shas tzias hashama. And they're not sure why. There's no shita in Shas or Rishonim or Achronim that would justify it. The only theory is that maybe if you go back a second to Shin Lamed Tes Dalet, Kevan Shenata Adam Momus, when someone's about to die, Ein Rishon Li Pari B'Menu, you're not allowed to leave him alone, run away when someone's dying. Kedei Shelo, right? Hey, who in Chumash did this?
Hagar,
right? So you're not allowed to be like Hagar. Because you can't let him die alone. And it's a mitzvah to be with someone when they die, etc. He even get old and have a friend. Okay, it's a big aveira to let someone die alone. And what happened? We used to be on a slightly higher madrega. When if someone say, hey, I'm with someone who's dying, he's not related to me. But if I stay with him, I'll have to tear my clothing. But I'm going to stay with him because you're not allowed to leave someone to die alone. You have to be with them. And I'm willing to tear my clothing. Problem is nowadays on social la madrega that if someone knew they'd have to tear their clothing, they would run away and violate the halacha of letting someone die alone. And therefore, there emerged some sort of minhag that if you have to pick the sort of smaller aveira, better to not tear kriya than to cause people to run away and leave people to die alone. Okay, really, it would be more proper that if someone was a Yid who died, that they would tear kriya. But the Maisa, the poskim write, the minhag nowadays, the mevatel this sif in the Shulchan Aruch, in order to protect the Siman Shin Lamed Tes Sif Dalid, to make sure that people don't die alone, which is more important. So therefore, one is justified in neglecting this Sif in the Shulchan Aruch.
So just in the Lamedes, why is it that the person who's running away is the one who's over the Isser? It's with all and everyone to make sure that this person doesn't die alone.
Because the Shulchan Aruch says, "In Rashad Pari Menu," you can't go away from him. Meaning, theoretically, everyone, but if someone's there, then the chiv's on him. What if I'm walking down the street and I find a diamond ring on the floor that someone lost? Why am I chayiv and Hashem is being than anyone else? Because I was there, so I'm chayiv. Likewise, whoever's with the mace is chayiv.
It's also subject, like, if someone who's knowledgeable is there, like, is it proper for them to do it? It's like, no, public policy,
in
no
my,
one cares.
In my opinion, I think it's proper for someone to tear kriya if they're there. But, you know, I'm not going to pressure anyone.
What if someone's like a doctor? It's like Maisim B'chol Yom.
What if someone's like a doctor and Maisim B'chol Yom? I think it would be more lechachila to rely on the minhag.
There are other people there. You're allowed to leave.
What?
There are other people there.
That's a great question. Simple pshat is yes. Like the 20 people don't have to stay with him. There is an inyan. I'll pick up all of that. Some people want to have a minyan when they die, but that's not like most people. There's some tzaddikim want to have minyan when they die, but that's not the mainstream minhag.
Two questions. One, if you spend the barriers, then again, why katana? I mean, you actually want to have Torah in the future. Wouldn't you have mitzvos?
No, but it's that already have mitzvos or will learn Torah. One is past, one is future. That's the lumbus.
And then the second is, can you spend the lumbus behind why like, except for the Gemara, why are you tearing it? You see it's safe for over.
I mean, they darshan that from the psukim, because it's very sad. And life is very sad when a Jew dies. And the Ramban says that's all there is. It's just sad when a Jew dies. And the other pshat is saying, here's the reason it's sad when a Jew dies. Basically, it's sad when a Jew dies. The question is, why is it so sad when a Jew dies? Is it stam, or is it because of Torah, or is it because of their past accomplishments?
How do we pass an alaha maaseh about a rasha analogy?
Okay, so let's continue. So, aval ragilas was aveira ein misablin alav, right? What does it say here? Let's go back to Ramah. I think we're ready to go back to Russia. It's a broader statement. Not just there's no Kiev Kriya. There's no Avilus or anything on a Russia. No Avilus, no Estadium, no nothing on a Russia. A Russia dies, we don't care at all. How do we paskin nowadays about a Russia who about a Russia who dies? So the assumption is that nowadays we assume there's a certain tino of shenishva, even if someone was brought up from and went off the derech. Rav Kook says that no, they were talking at times there was a normal Jewish society. And therefore people were expected, not everyone expected to be a tzaddik, but people were expected to be normal Jews. Nowadays, first, besides Tim Shanishma, someone brought up not from, even if someone's brought up from one of the derech, the assumption is that nowadays we live in a society with so much difficulty and confusion and temptation that Rav Kook writes that they're still not really considered a mezid, they're considered an onus, because our society is so, corrupt. That was even, you know, before social media. I assume nowadays Rav Kook could see even more so. What do you mean? Wherever you are, you know, bad influences are reaching out to you, you know, every second. And therefore, we assume nowadays that even if someone is not observant, we still. I don't mean terms such as Yesh Shama, that Mela we don't do, but we still have Hestetim and Avelos, etc. Basically, if someone, even if someone is not Shomer Shabbos, nowadays we still have Avelos for them. The exception is, we'll see in a moment, the instant Kolshkin, if someone converts to another religion.
What about if they do other things that are clearly like Rishis, like even in secular society? That would be.
That's a fascinating question. What if someone does something that's clearly Rishis even in secular society, right? Let's say someone is an ex-murderer, right? A serial rapist, whatever. These things are funny if you don't encounter them. But what if someone does something which, what do you mean? Like, no one in secular society tries to get them to do that. They try to get them to eat treif, to do snus, to drive on Shabbos. That's what secular society tries to get you to do. Secular society doesn't try to make you a murderer and whatever. And I'm talking about a case where, you know, not a case where they thought it was okay and deluded themselves, etc. You know, sometimes you have these people who, like, you know, they're not really ethical in business. But you can say they're not a real Russia. They just, like, you know, somehow, you know, everyone else did it and, you know, convinced them it was okay, etc. What if people are mamish, you know, mamish, just total criminals? Then it's hard to have any justification. Lemaisa, it's the simple pshat is that if someone's mamish got a criminal, that there's no any part of any society that, like, influences them to do it. No such thing as Tinuk Shanishba to be an ex murderer. Whatever, like, no one brings you up that way. I don't know, maybe in social media there are people trying to get you to do that, but not enough to make it really an onus. Pashtos, there'd really be no Kriya, no Avelos, no Hespedim for people like that. Lemaisa, you know, often the family, you know. First of all, half the time the family doesn't think they did in the first place. So what are you going to fight with the family of whether their son's really a murderer or is he really a professional hitman? Or was he just framed and, you know, et cetera. It's not worth fighting with them, et cetera. But where this does come up sometimes, and I, you know, these are sensitive issues, is sometimes you have cases where, let's say, a case of abuse or something like that, and, you know, and the kid says, what do you mean? You know, my father abused me for 20 years, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm going to sit shiva for him, and I'm going to go to his funeral, et cetera, et cetera. This could also be keeping up in Shiloh when he's alive. But often it becomes more, you know, it becomes a stronger Shiloh when he passes away. In cases like this, since the Iker Hadin is that if the person's a big Russia, it gets trickier if they did tshuva. You know, but assuming they didn't, since the Ikra Din is that if the person is a big Russia in a way that they're not a Tinuk Shanishba, right? Nothing in society is a Tinuk Shanishba. It tells you to abuse people, right? Other society tells you not to. There's no part of our society tells you to be an abuser. So therefore, you're an inexcusable Russia. So in a case like that, what I've seen Rabbanim do is they don't go and tell families don't have funerals and don't shiva and don't dear Kriya because your relative is a criminal. We let people do what they want, But me'ikra din, there's no chiyuv, and really it's really a negative thing to do. But l'maisa, it's not worth fighting about, and therefore what happens is that, you know, if the kid goes off this, unfortunately it's happening, he goes to the rabbi and says, do I have to sit shiver for my father, if et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the rabbi says, no, because of this Rama, that someone who's rugged lasso severa, ain misaplin olav. Okay, but these are sad cases.
Two questions. First of all, does tshuva play any role? And second of all, can we apply, when it comes to like a really bad criminal, can we apply some of like, I'm jumping down a little bit, some of the kulas we say about Rabbi Asmoadat, that we don't really know who's exactly this person, exactly this time.
So, you know, look, tshuva does play a role. Ain dover home with tshuva. Anyone can do tshuva. And, of course, that becomes a little tricky. What if the father abused his kid for 20 years and then did tshuva? You know, and then the kid's taka chayev in Avelos and Kriya has paid him, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, then you have to figure out what's practical, what isn't. So tshuva does play a role. Are we going to say everyone did tshuva, et cetera? I don't know. The truth is that when criminals go to jail, they often do tshuva. Jail is a very conducive environment for tshuva. I guess there's not a lot of other things to do there. It's amazing. People come very from in jail. You always hear that the Christians become very from in jail. I think Jews also sometimes. No, they start from. I'm talking about other jails where you start not from. Okay.
Oh, yes, I remember.
Isn't the Misa Mechaper?
We'll get to that. Okay, let's read a little more and then we'll analyze a little and bring it down to Lach L'maisa.
Yeah. All right. Unfortunately, it's very L'maisa. What are the verses a little bit like? Logic is like, since October 7th, there are a lot of Jews who are very, not just like, you know, questionable with politics, but are very like, Hamas, by any means necessary, they deserve it. Where does that fit in terms of why?
I don't want to get into politics here. We'll learn the Ramah and I'll let you draw your own conclusions. But it's not such a nafgamina, because, you know, by a few days from now, they'll all do tshuva anyway, so it won't be a nafgamina. It says the Ramah, if someone shmadit, if they converted to Christianity or whatever else, other religion, v'yesh omrim shemomer sh'nerag v'di ovid kochavim mis'avlon olav. Okay, the whole series of v'achlok shach l'mush is here. We'll just go with halacha ma'aseh shach. Some people say that if the goyim killed the mummer, meaning the guy got baptized, then the goyim killed him anyway. Guy's a real sucker. Then you're mis'avl on him. Why? Because since he was killed shelo kedin, that's considered a kapara. This is actually a chluk. The Shach says, Levush says, because if he baptized and the Christians killed him anyway, he for sure did tshuva because he realized what a silly thing he did. The Shach says, no, it's a kapara if you're killed by anti-Semites, which is an interesting, you know, like people say the Kedoshim and the Holocaust, etc. Right, and everyone says, what makes them Kedoshim? Kedoshim is like the Crusades, 1096. The guy gave his life for Kiddush Hashem. These guys, maybe they were never from, maybe they were intermarried, maybe they were, who knows? They could have even been converted to Christianity and they would have been, Hitler would have killed them anyway. So the answer is no, they're really Kedoshim. It's a din that when the anti-Semites kill you because you're a Jew, even if you're a Russian, it's a kapara. It really is true that there's a kapara to being killed by the anti-Semites, not to dying of old age or disease, and not to die being killed by Beis Din. That's all he did. But if someone's killed by anti-Semites, that is a kapara. That's what the Shach says. Again, the Lubush says psychological. The guy for sure does tshuva when he sees the anti-Semites are out to get him. The Shach says, no, even if he doesn't do tshuva, it's a kapara. So then you're mishavlo him. Likewise, a minor who gets baptized with his parents is like an honest, so of course you mishavlo for him. It's not his fault, right? A three-year-old kid whose parents take to get baptized in the church. He didn't do anything wrong. So you're, if he dies, you mishavlo for him. You're not mishavlo for the two-day-old baby who gets baptized with his parent. You're not mishavlo. V'chein ikar, that is the ikar. Taka, if someone shmads with their kids, we're not mishavlo even for the innocent kids who are 2 years old who didn't even know what's going on. The Haporshimi Darkin Tzibra, on the other hand, someone who separates in ways that Tzibra means they leave from kite. They're Jewish. They're just not from Afishe Misabalon Lay Misabalon Lay, even though Misabalon, we're not Misabalon them, because they're Russia, you know, without Dina Shanish, but Seder Misabalon their kids. Here we have an interesting chiluk. What's the interesting chiluk here? If someone's a Russia and they bring their kids up as a Russia, you're Misabalon the kids. Kids are Dina Shanishva. But if someone schmads and schmads with their kid, then you're not Misabalon the kid. What do we see here? Again, these are all not found in the Gemara. The Gemara didn't discuss these things. But from the Rishonim, what do we see from here? We see from here there's a difference between being a Russia and leaving Judaism, even though Pi Halacha, there's no such thing as leaving Judaism, right? I'm sure we all know that Pi Halacha, you can be baptized as many times as you want. You're still just as chayev in Taryag Mitzvos as, you know, as the Gedolei Ador, right? But even though halachically you can't leave Judaism, when it comes to your sort of status within the Jewish, in the Chiyuv Mitzvos, no such thing as leaving Judaism, right? A guy could get baptized 30 times over, be the biggest anti-Semite, whatever, and he goes over to a Jewish girl and says, "Alright, Mekudesh Li," and gives her a ring. She is Mekudeshes because he's 100% Jewish. However, when it comes to how much the Jewish people go out of their way for him, we see here there's a difference between a regular Russia and someone who schmads. A regular Russia, if he's a Tinuk Shanishva, which is the literal case here, right? Yes, he brought up his kids not from, then we do, we are misabel for him. But schmad, even though it's a 2-year-old kid who it's not his fault and he was just brought up that way, etc., then, nonetheless, once you leave the Jewish people, you lose a certain degree of privilege, and there's no excuse of Tinuk Shanishva, etc. This is interesting. This is, Rav Lichtenstein famously referred to this in his opinion about the famous Brother Daniel case many decades ago. There was someone who wanted to make Aliyah under the law of return. Who? Brother Daniel. He was whatever exactly. He was some sort of priest of some sort. And they didn't let him. They said the law of return lets every Jew unless they convert to another religion. Why should we accept every Jew into this country? Even if they violate all Taryag Mitzvos. But not if someone keeps many Mitzvos but just happens to be baptized into the church. So the answer is, because of this Ramah, from here we see that there's being a bad Jew and there's leaving Judaism. Not that you have the right to leave Judaism, not that it exempts you from Taryag Mitzvos, but you get the penalty when you leave Judaism that's worse than being a bad Jew, and there's no heter of Tinuk Shanishva, or there's no excuse of Tinuk Shanishva for someone who leaves Judaism. The fascinating question, which we're not going into now, is what about someone who intermarries? Is that like someone who's Torah Shmidarkei Tzibur, where there's an excuse of Tinuk Shanishva, or is that like someone who shmads, where we just say, sorry, there's no more excuses once you shmad, and you're just cut off? Are they a bad Jew? Are they leaving the Jewish people?
Is that where the Shiva question comes?
Yes. When I was a kid, the assumption was, let's go to the Shiva question for one moment. There's a famous Mesorah from the Taz. As Haz brings down here, it's also in Beis Yosef, in Moshe, in Gimel, Rabbeinu Gershom's son shmadded. There are many, many Gedolim. I'm not going to say their names now because it will offend people. There are many, many Gedolim, people you've heard of from the 20th century, you know, people you've heard of who were alive in my lifetime, people who you've heard of because they're the Gedolei Rishonim V'Achronim, who had kids who shmadded in the old days, or nowadays, not so many people get baptized, not as attractive as it once was, or intermarried or whatever. Rabbeinu Gershon had a kid who shmadded, and he sat shiva for 14 days, like the Kal Vachomer at the end of Parshas Baloska that Rashi says, I know we say Dayalovim in their skin, don't ever remember the first parak of, or the second parak of Bava Kamma, that if for a father, one would be sit 7 days. For Hashem, Hashem's covet is 14 days. Okay, no one does the 14 days, but Rabbeinu Gershom, what's the lashon in the Taz? Point that goes to Shri? Albinosha Hamer Dosa Umes? He sat double Shiva when his shmadid son died. Why? What? Double Shiva? Because he died and he lost his own habit because he shmadid. Interesting, we wouldn't set shiv at all when the kid shmats. He sat double shiv when his kid shmatted. That is the girsa in the Hagosa Shri. Can't cause by Hagosa Shri, so pick up Galchin. However, that's against the Ramah. The Ramah says you don't sit any shiva. You don't sit double shiva because he lost all of Hazed, all of Haba, like a renegotiation. You don't sit any shiva when the kid gets baptized and died. However, in the Orza Ruah, there's a different girsa. Not Hamer Dussa Umes, just Hamer Dussa. Not when his kid died, when his kid baptized. Right then, he sat shiva for him. That's where the minhag comes from nowadays, right? That if a kid converts to another religion, they sit shiva for him on the spot. And when I was a kid, if a kid, someone intermarried, intermarriage was like converting to another religion, it was leaving Judaism. When someone intermarried, they would sit shiva for him, and that's it. They wouldn't talk to him anymore. If the guy, the kid stopped keeping Shabbos and stopped eating kosher, etc., you know, stopped going to shul on Rosh Hashanah, they would still invite him over, they would, etc., be friendly, etc. But if the kid got baptized or intermarried, they would sit shiva for him and say he doesn't exist anymore. That all comes from this chiluk right here in this Ramah. Nowadays, I think the minhag has changed. Rav Lichtenstein says it's logical the minhag has changed. Once upon a time, someone intermarried, they were leaving Judaism. Nowadays, what are you talking about? Most rabbis in the United States think it's a mitzvah to intermarry. What do you mean? It's liberal values. I didn't say Orthodox rabbis. Nowadays, we live in a different world, and nowadays when kids intermarry, they don't sit shiva for them, and they still invite them over for Shabbos meals, etc. And it's a bit of a different world. But when I was a kid, if someone intermarried, they would sit shiva for him, just like Rabbi Gershom did in the Gersa of the Orza Ruah. Nowadays, the world has changed for the worse.
What about nowadays, let's say not somebody intermarries, somebody converts to Christianity?
Now that someone converts to Christianity, so I think we consider them still a real shmad. Would we sit shiva for them on the spot like the Orza Ruah? I don't know. I mean, that was the minhag in Gershom. I've never seen anyone sit shiva when their relative intermarried, when the relative shmadded, but, they could. If that's the minhag in their community.
Was it the same reward for the girls?
I think so. Yeah. What else did I want to say in this se'if? I think that's it. Okay. But again, the Tazik from the Gosha Shri is not the mocker for sitting shiva when someone intermarries. It's the Orza Ruah's version that's the mocker who said he sat shiva immediately, not upon death. Okay, Vav. A step higher than a regular Jew who's not a Russia is Adam Kosher. Adam Kosher. What's an Adam Kosher? An Adam Kosher is really like a properly from Jew. Or I would say, nowadays, I guess this makes you a tzaddik, right? Someone keeps all the halachas. I'll let him kosher. What's an Adam Kosher? She'ino kosher shom avera. No, he's there. We would never suspect him doing any avera. The law shouldn't be the mitzvah. We never suspect him not doing the mitzvah doing Aveira. He's a from Yid who does everything right. Interesting. He says the Shach. No. The Shulchan Aruch is not. The law of Sani Shimoni. He doesn't have bad rumors. Afi She'inu Gadol B'Torah. Even though he's not a Gadol B'Torah, he might not be learned, right? Once upon a time, there were Jews who were very, very, very from, but not learned. Nowadays, I think it's generally Mekobel in most velts that, you have to learn Kolo for many years to be from. Otherwise, you'll go off the derech. But if you met old European Jews, they couldn't read a Gemara, if their life depended on it. But they were more from than all the Vreichim nowadays. It was just, that was Europe. So, let's say someone's very from, even though they're not a Talmud Chacham. Then you have to hear kriya, even if you weren't there when they died, even if you weren't present at the time, because then you have to do extra for them. Okay, there's a machlokes rishonim. So it's very clear. Rishonim shamei nisa l'kvura, only until the kvura. Now the machlokes rishonim is only if you are with the body before the kvura, or even if you hear the news before the kvura. Okay, nowadays with modern communication, what happens to a lot of kriyas, you hear the news of a lot of the kosher people dying because you hear news from all over the world. I guess in those days it didn't happen so much because the guy didn't live in your town. You wouldn't hear the news before burial. Anyway, so that's Machlok Shoshonim, and the Shulchan Aruch Mekel says only only if you're with the body between Misa and Fura, meaning probably that means attend the funeral, right? Or for some other reason with the body. If you attend the funeral of an kosher, you have to tear Kriya. The Talmid Chacham Torah Mikriyazu. This also Machlok says a Talmid Chacham is potter because it's not Kavod Talmid Chacham that he has to tear for someone who's not a Talmid Chacham. But you know, if you're not a Talmid Chacham, then you're Chayav. The Shas says no. He quotes in the Rebbe Yonah, the Bach Kone Rebbe Yonah, says, nah, that's not an Adam Kosher. I mean, he doesn't use an Adam Treif. He means that's not someone who everyone has to be Mizabel for. You know, nah, everyone doesn't have to be Mizabel for someone who just keeps the halacha. Has to be someone who not just keeps the halacha, but only Noeg Minik Sher laxer Acher Mitzvah Gemilas Chasadim. No, he has to run after mitzvahs. He has to go seek extra mitzvahs to do and be involved in Gemilas Chasadim. I mean, if he just plays by the book, that's not the Adam Kosher we're talking about. Says the Shach, he has to be a real tzaddik. Meaning, he runs after mitzvahs, he does Gemilas Chasadim, he tries to help people, etc. Like a real tzaddik. Okay, if someone's a tzaddik, even if they're not a Talmid Chacham, you have to tear Kriya for them. That is Se'if. That is if Vav. Okay, the Shach in that Shach in Yud Aleph says only if they're real tzaddik. The Shach in Shach brings a few machlokos here. In Yud Aleph, in Yud Beis, he brings a machlokos whether it's if you hear the news or only if you're physically present there, and he brings down the machlokos Rishonim about this. And he brings the Machlok Shoshonim, and Yud Gimel brings the Machlok Shoshonim as to whether Talmid Chacham or Chayav or not. In any case, none of this has an afkamina because the Gemara is a little funny. It's in the context of a Kriya Sugya, and then it says, you have to be Bocha Umis Abel and an Kosher Shemes. It never says you have to be Korea. So the Machaber in most Shoshonim hold, it means you have to be Korea. But says the Ramah, based on the Ran and the Rav Yah, the minig is like, even though it's a minority, she's in the Rav Yah, who says the Gemara never did the chiyuv to kriya. It's just optional. It's a chumra to do kriya. The chiyuv is livkos ulis abel, to be sad and cry. That's a chiyuv al pidin. If you know a tzaddik died, even if they're not a tamachachim, you have to be sad, you have to cry. But, you know, if you're a Kriya, nowadays we don't do this if at all, and we do have an explanation. Because we've told, like, the Ran and the Rav Yah, that the Chiyav is only Bechiyav Va'avelos, and not Kriya. So we don't keep Sifav, we do the end. You should be very sad if you hear an Adam Kosher died. No, it just means to be sad. Interestingly, there's a whole discussion that Gilui Marsha says. If you look at the Gilui Marsha on the Sif, I'll let him kosher. If you're really sad, that means you say Dina Emes B'Shem Malchus. If you hear that at Tzadik died, you say Baruch Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Dayan HaEmes, quoting from the Magen Avraham. But then he quotes the Knesset Gedolah, who's Mefakveh, says no, maybe not Shem Malchus, just Shem Malchus. If it's not a relative. And this is a big machlokes. The Mishnah Berurah in Siman Reish Chaf Gimel says that, interestingly, the halacha is you say dying of Shema Malchus if an Adam Kosher dies, but the minhag is say without Shema Malchus. That is talk of the minhag, even though most, the vast majority of the Achronim say with Shema Malchus, nonetheless, the minhag is without Shema Malchus, says the Mishnah Berurah, that when you hear someone die, you say Baruch Dayan Ha'emes. You don't say Baruch Dayan Ha'emes.
Yeah, why not? Is there a big debate here?
Because of the minority, to be choshish, the minority shita of this Knesset Agdola, who say that you shouldn't, that it's not a real bracha in Chazal.
The relatives do?
No, the relatives say with Shema Malchus. That's what it says. I'll read the Gil Marsha again, not Rabbi Kibbeh, Gil Marsha. Umvarch la b'rivet dainem Shema Malchus magen Avram b'shem Abach, but you have a Knesset Agdola, reish simen kan, mefak peit la omar b'shem Malchus. Okay, he says, gamal meis didei, he says, the Knesset Gedolah says, maybe you never say B'Shem Malchus. Our minhag is that on a relative we say B'Shem Malchus, and on a non-relative, even in another kosher, we say without Shem Malchus.
I'm really getting a brachos about that B'Shem Malchus also might be a way of saying B'Shem Malchus.
No, we don't. We never do that halachically. Okay. That's Sif Vav. Going on to Sif Zion then. Next step is a Chacham, right? You notice we're going up from a Jew who's not a Russia to an Adam Kusher to a Chacham. Al Chacham the Atamut Chacham. I mean, the Chacham means like the Rabbi Rashim, and Tamut Chacham means the guy who doesn't have a position but is very learned. How big a Tamut Chacham? Sheshomon so dvar halacha b'chol makom v'omra. You can ask him about anything and he can answer you on the spot. Right? He knows Kol Torah Kula. Then the kriya, even after the burial, you have to kriya if you hear a Talmud Chacham died. B'yom Shmua, on the day that you heard the news, imutok shloshim yom. If it's within 30 days of his, if it's within 30 days. So if it's within shloshim, then, and you heard the news late, then you still have to tear. The korea lo b'shas hesbedo, and the best time to tear is during the hesped, like they have hesbedim, you know, in those days they have hesbedim. Even nowadays, sometimes, right, Baruch Halab passed away, they had a spadim 7 days later in Brussels, etc. So, if they have the best time to hear is during the Hesped, if it's within 30 days, lo kar v'yam shua kar avzan tevav lo kar shav eino korea. But he says, if it didn't hear the day you heard or during the Hesped, then it is too late. I mean, it's only if it's within 30 days and it's either the day you got the news or the Hesped. The Korin, Allah v'atchmig alus libo. And how much? Not just a tefach, till you reveal your heart, till you tear and reveal your heart. And the meaning is talmidei chachamim tear a tefach for one another, even though they're equal and you know none of them teaches the other. But because they're all talmidei chachamim, so what it sounds like here is like an ama aretz has to tear when a talmid chacham dies. Achigels libo, talmid chacham only has to tear a tefach. Add the ramadam, and this is based on the Gemara. All right, the Gemara says who passed away in this Gemara? Rav Safra passed away. And they didn't tear on him. He said, he's not my Rebbe. He said, what do you mean? It says any Talmud Chacham you have to tear for. And he is your Rebbe because you're always learning his Chidushim. So the Machlok Shoshana is, do you need both reasons or not? You're like, which reason do we rely on? Why the Machaber said, what do you mean? Forget the fact that he's our Rebbe. That's not necessary. That's just extra. The Iker is that a Chacham, even if he's not your Rebbe, you have to tear. But the Ramah says no. The Ramah says no. First they said you have to turn any Chacham, then they changed their mind. And they said, no, only if you learn his Torah. And that's how the Ramah is Mekel. He says, you shouldn't turn to Talmud Chacham unless he's either your Rebbe or you at least know his Chidushim. Shechidesh, the Hainu Rabbo, which makes him like a Rebbe. Not a Rabbo Mufak, but like a Rebbe, right? There are people nowadays, I don't want to start naming people because I don't want to give them an Ayin Hara. We all know a lot of, if the Rav was alive, we all know a lot of Torah the Rav, even if we never met him. So then we would tear. The Cheino, the Hakim, the Yos Elu, and our Minhag in our countries is to be Mekel, that we don't tear on any Talmud Chacham who dies, only on a Talmud Chacham who's at least indirectly our Rebbe, who we know their Chidushim.
Oftentimes at a speaker, you'll say Torah from the person that has the voice.
It's an interesting question. The Gemara there says, every day we learn. Right. It seems to be there have to be someone who's a more significant role than just once someone says something and you happen to hear it and forget it 3 seconds later. You know, like the Rav. We all know the Torah of the Rav, for example. We're not going to get into all the details here. The Shach in Sivkotin Tes Zayin says we paskin like the Ramah against the Mechaber. That it's only if you know the person's only if you know the person's Torah and your Zayin. You also agree to this is either they're greater than you. Still, we don't tear on every time a Chacham dies. Otherwise, we'd be tearing a lot. You only tear on someone whose Torah you know. But look at the Shach at the end of Yud Zayin. I don't know if we have the same Surah Sadaf. So the third to last line, do you have page Taf Lamed Ches here?
Yeah.
Okay, the third to last line of the Shach starts with Brurin. And the next word says, Mishum Hachani Tama! Nowadays, no one tears when Talmud Chacham dies. Even if you know his Torahs, and even if he's greater than you. you know, Tamir Chum always died all the time. Now we know about it, right? We have communication. Everyone has a Yom Shmuel. We always hear that some big gadol died. And sometimes even a big gadol whose Torahs we know. And no one ever tore Kriya. Why not? He says, "Act, you forgot the beginning. What must it be? This whole machlok is only assuming here a real tamachachim. What's a real tamachachim? That would be called tamachachim nowadays. Not like you and me. No, a real tamachachim is someone who knows everything. Kol Tarkula, even Maseches Kali, even the most obscure parts. They know Kol Tarkula on the tip of their Kol Tarkula is on the tip of their tongue. And Kedisa B'Shas." Nowadays, we don't have a Talmud Chacham anymore. It must be because nowadays no one's on the Madrig of Talmud Chacham. Therefore, Potter from this whole Seif. No one knows the Maseches Kala. Ad Kan Lashon of Yuma Ril, etc. Other parts of the Shulchan Aruch also say this. That, I think, is the Magen Avraham. Also says, nowadays we don't have a Talmud Chacham because no one knows everything. And therefore, you're Potter from Kriya, and that's why nowadays we don't do Kriya when we hear that a Talmid Chacham died, because even if they're a big, Talmid Chacham, still they don't know everything. I was a little suspect about that. When Rav Chaim Kanievsky passed away, I actually knew a lot of his Torahs, and he wasn't my Rebbe. I never met him, but I knew a lot of his Torahs, and he knew Maseches Kala backwards, and he has a parish of Maseches Kala. He has it all. He didn't forget anything you wrote there. It's hard to say that he doesn't know Maseches Kala when he published on it. So I really couldn't think of a good reason not to tear Kriya on Rav Chaim Kanievsky. The fact that I might have different political views from him is not anywhere in the Shulchan Aruch a factor in Hilchas Kriya. So I tore Kriya. Because I knew his Shmuos, and he knew everything, even Maseches Kala. Stam, when you hear Stam, or Rosh Hashiva, or Talmud Chacham passes away nowadays, so you can assume that the Shach is right. But there could be one or two people who the Shach is wrong about. And he means normal life. He doesn't mean there can't be one or two exceptions in the door. So I think if someone really knows Kol Tarkula by heart, then it's, I don't know. I don't know if the Heter is not Tir Kriya. What?
Did you say Bracha?
I did not say Bracha. Not shame.
What about somebody who could conceivably be on the level, but they would never tell you because there's too much of an up? Not that you 100% know, but you could possibly know, and if you ask them, they would say no.
Let's assume Suffolk Kriya Lakula. Okay. It's very nice that you have such a positive outlook on life. We should all emulate that. And maybe you're right. Okay, weiter. Ches. Al Rabo Sharov Chachmasim. And now the next Madrega. Not just you know Shmuz. Rabo Sharov Chachmasim Imenu. Mam Sharebi Mavak, who you mostly learned from. In Mikra, Mishnah, Gemara, Gemara. Either you learn most of your Mikra from him, or most of your Mishnah, or most of your Gemara from him. Meaning, I think we can say this means, like, even if you didn't learn more from him than everyone else in the world, etc., but, you know, a certain Mitzvah of Torah, you learned the most from him. Then you have to tear all the layers of clothing until you're Megala Libo. But Yesh Omrim only a Tefach.
Is this the Ramaz Tam Tefach?
What?
This is now Renner and the Ramaz Tam Tefach.
It doesn't say here the Ramaz Tam Chacham. Lachora here, it's even if it's not the. Meaning. Lachor here, even if they don't know Maseches Kala, Rabo Movak is different. I don't know if that's what you meant.
When the Ramah said that the Talmud Chacham is only when it's Rabo Movak.
No, where do you say that? Who Rabo Oshi Yodim Mishmasim Shechidish? You know some things he taught. No, the Ramah says Siv Zayin is only you know some things he taught. Even if not Rabo Movak. Siv Ches is Rabo Movak. If someone's Rabo Movak, passed away, then they have to tear. Vafilu mishmur rechokok re'alav. Mishmur rechokok means even if you only get the news after 30 days, but olam, forever, even 20 years later, you have to tear for Rabbi Movak. V'yimlolam rechokok re'alav re'alav el'kidin shar meisim shadav le'lehem. But if you didn't learn most of your chachma from him, then you don't have to tear. Rather, only like shar meisim. Vafilu lo lama min ol'dever echa ben katam in gadol ko re'alav. Even if you only learned one thing from him, you have to tear Kriya, meaning there's two different... did I read Ve'enu Ma'achal Olam? And for Rabbi Mufak, you can never fully repair the tear. That way he's like a parent. We'll see. Why is Rabbi Mufak like a parent? Right, even better than a parent, right? A parent only brings you to Olam Hazeh, and the Rabbi Mufak brings you to Olam Haba. So you have the tear and not Ma'achal Olam. But if you only learn one thing from someone, that's not a Rabbi Mufak, that's just Tamu Chachim you learn one thing from, then you have to tear, like in Siv Zayin. But but it doesn't say, but that's just like other mesim. Shumas Abel Aleim only within 30 days, and you can repair it. But the Ramah says, V'yishom nikarashal rabbi inu mobek nami is b'nachal. There's a no. When it comes to not repairing the tear again, not such enough meaning nowadays. I never heard of people repairing the kara nowadays. They just buy a new suit. Then you also cannot re-sew it. Talmidicham sheyoshim b'yachad ha-makshim farkim zel zevelom b'yachad yishom r'shinin k'rav shein ha-movad v'yishom r'shinin k'rav ha-movad. It's my chlokas. What about chevra who learn together all the time? And like, they learn by being together. But no one's the Rebbe, but they grow together in Torah. Some people say that's like Rav Shein ha-movad. They each learn one thing from each other, or a few things from each other. Some people say it's like Rabbo Mufak, because that's how they grew in Torah. V'yishom r'din sh'richan l'kroa ela rabbo Limdo rov chachmaso val chaver malom zezel sheheir ein of the echad ein ol chomer bialma vehifud nog nog vehifud lo nog lo nog vein barm kein lochein nog lo hakam niyosei like the Gemara says tamim come in bavel with tear on like the chevra with tear kriya if one of them passed away. So the first yeshomer says that's a din. It's either like Rabbi Mufak or Rabbi Sheino Mufak, but no yeshomer says that only a Rabbi Mufak you have to tear on. But chaver we learn from each other. If someone taught you one halacha, it's only a chomra that in bavel they used to tear on each other, and if the minhag is to do it, they do it. If not, we don't tell them to do it, and that's why nowadays we don't. This Ramah fits in with the end of the Shachs of Kut Yud Zayin. What's he saying? He's saying if they're not a chacham who knows Kol Tarkuli, even Maseches Kala, then if they're not Rabbi Mufak, the minhag is not to tear. He basically said the minhag is not to tear except for Rabbi Mufak. What happens to Siv Zayin? L'chor, this Ramah means the same as the end of the Shachs of Yud Zayin. Siv Zayin doesn't apply to our friends nowadays and our regular rabbis nowadays because they don't know Kol Tarkuli even Seches Kala. So therefore, you only have to tear nowadays if it is Rabbo, if it is Rabbo Mufak. I think that's Shad and Ramah. That's how the Badei Shulchan explained him. And that's our meaning nowadays, that someone only tears Kriya on Rabbo Mufak. What is Rabbo Mufak? Some people say nowadays you don't have Rabbo Mufak because we have Svarim. And everyone learns from the Sfarim. The Rav was very clear. The Rav Mufak is someone you got your Derech Halimud from, someone who taught you how to learn. I know.
Does that mean you have to tear like over your ninth grade Rebbe because he taught you how to read the Gemara?
No, I mean if someone taught you a real gave you Derech Halimud who made you what you are. Lemaisa, I think even nowadays there are many people who still tear over Rav Mufak. Like this Ramah, who says the minig nowadays again yesh omrim, which the minig nowadays ain't shrich l'kor el rabo shel limdo rov chachmaso. So I think that's the minig nowadays that people only tear on Rabo Mufak.
In terms of Rabo Mufak, would it also apply to nowadays with the little bit of different dar that people have a Rebbe, like as Mashiach, that they've gained so much, Mashiach or Posey, that this is where they would sacks that a Rabo Mufak?
I don't know makor for that, but I think one can say yes. That's like Mikra, Mishnah, and Gemara. They got their derech, you know, their derech and their hashkafa from them.
Is it Mikra, Mishnah, and Gemara?
The Rav wouldn't like that.
In, even if someone only learned Mikra from this person, and he knows a lot more than Mikra.
Lachora, yeah.
I
think that's what it means.
So someone talked about first group yeshiva and they were inducted into first group thought. Are they going to tear when they kind of cross that threshold of the first group rabbis in some sense they're doing the talk?
No. It has to be a direct connection.
Just as a general cloud, yeah. I said before, we're going to be worried about Tashkin. So meaning, if we think that...
No, what I said before, we won't worry about Tashkin for tearing too far. Because we're going to throw it out anyway. Tearing when you don't have to tear is for sure about Tashkin. Uh-huh. But none of this is a chashash about Tashkin. Why? Because... it's definitely a kiyum. It's mukher in the word. It's a kiyum to tear even for an adam kosher. Even an adam kosher, it's a kiyum to tear, just not a kiyum. So you don't have to worry about baltashkes. again, you might have to worry about Yorba sometimes. You know, if you're the only person in the world who's tearing, then okay, you have to not do Yorba if you do it in public. But okay, I'll leave that to your sound judgment. Or as they say, to your common sense. That is, the Taz does point out, he quotes here, he doesn't say he's quoting, the Taz in Sivkat and Dalet, he's quoting the Furish Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Kvod Ravel, that when a Ravel Muvik dies, Yeshivalov Yom Echad Shachas Avelos. You have to sit Shachas means on an hour. You have to sit a few minutes Avelos for him and. The Taz of Gondalib, he's quoting Rukeach, but it's Mefurish Mechaber in Reshman Beis and Hilchas Kvod Rabo. That one even has to sit like a mitzvah Hayom Kikulo, a few minutes of Avelos, when their Rabo Movak passed away. Okay, Tess. Everyone should live till May of Esrei. Tess. Now we get to the nitty-gritty technical details of how to do Kriya. There'll be many Sifim, Tess and Yud Beis and Yud Gimel and Yud Dalet and Tess Vav and Tess Zayin and implicitly some others are all. This is the rule for Avi Imo and this is the rule for the other relatives. Why are we more machmir for Kriya of the Imo? We're also more machmir for Avelos of the Imo. Okay, there's one Yerushalmi that sounds like because you're not only lost a relative, you lost a mitzvah of Kibud Av Va'Em, but the simpler pshat is just that it's a kiyum of Kibud Av Va'Em, that for other relatives you just have to be sad for them. For your parents, someone has to be sad that their parent passed away and also honor their parents more than anyone else in the world, and that's why they have special halachos. Tess, I'll call a mesim gori lof tefach veged elyon. All relatives who die, someone only tears a tefach down in their outermost layer. Vidayo, and that is enough. Dayo is an interesting formulation. The outermost layer is enough. Is an inner layer also okay? What if someone's wearing, I don't know what that is.
Sorry for the jacket.
Okay, well, we'll get to jackets in the next step. What if someone's wearing two layers and they tear their innermost layer for another relative? The Yotze? So the Pisri Tshuva in Simkot Nechas says, I'm Berhitev Shal Rav Marit, not our Berhitev, a different Berhitev. Shekasav Shem Tshuvas Ginas Rodim, the evident Lokar Beg Dolion Yotze. But the evident, if they tear the Begatach on the Yotze, Vikachosav Shuvas Perach Mate Aaron, Simon Sadi Tess. So a few Achronim say, nah, Bidi Eved, your Yotze, if you tear the Beged Tachton. Not everyone agrees about this. If you look at Rehiva Eger here, he says, Vimkara Vegetachton Lo Yotza. You're not Yotze if you tear the inner layer. And you have to tear again. Chuva's Torah's Chesed. But in Chuva's Perach Matei Aaron, also going to Pesach Chuva, he says you are Yotze. It's a machlokas whether or not someone's Yotze. Give me a second. It's a machlokas whether someone or not someone's Yotze if they tear their inner layer. Halacha lemaisa, most achronim assume that they are Yotze, but since it's not so pasha, one should certainly try to be makbid to make sure to tear the outer layer. Look at the Gilyam Arsha here, and then I'll take a question. Says Gilyam Arsha, but the evidim kar tachton yotza, knes agdola. Okay. And the majority of opinions that they're Yotze, but the evidim with a beget tachton, even though it's not universal. Verashai lipshus habeget shalavish bohom chasal of lobosh acher likriya. Someone can change their clothing if they want. If they don't want to tear such expensive clothing, they can change their clothing, put on other clothing, and then tear that. This is a little bit controversial. There are some who are machmir, but the majority opinion is that someone can change their clothing. So, for example, let's say someone has an outer layer that's very expensive. They can take it off. And then they'll have a new outer layer. And then they can tear that. Or if someone wants to change into a cheap shirt or whatever they can, like this Gilimar Shah, someone's allowed to change their clothes or change their layers in order to not lose so much money for Kriya, and that's not considered a bizayon hames. Yeah.
Is there no issue yet of needing to freshly laundered?
Well, in the old days, people never changed to freshly laundered clothes.
Okay,
that's an interesting question. What about changing? Yeah, so what about an onin changing into freshly laundered, changing to freshly laundered clothes? Okay, we'll get to that. Yeah.
Megatastone is only potentially an issue if you only wear a megatastone.
Correct. Correct. Now let's continue in test. I'll call a mesa gorilla of tefach with Elyon Vidayo, Yel Ava Vimo Korea, call Begadov, all the layers. I feel lovish, sorry, even 10 layers. Achim Gala, leave until he reveals his heart. Vim Lokar, call Begadov, lo Yatsan. If he didn't tear all the layers, not Yotze, Vigorin Bo, and we yell at him, calls Mancho, so Begadov, Armlo, Krafi, Lacher Shloshim. And as long as he's wearing that clothing, we tell him to tear it even after Shloshim. Meaning forever, we yell at him, hey, you didn't tear Yotze, your Chi of Kriya yet. Again, I don't know if it's always worth to yell at people nowadays. And some of the Achronim say that, you know, it doesn't mean only like as long as he is wearing that. Even if he changes his clothing, like we still tell him, you haven't been Yotze Yerchi of Kriya yet. You have to tear all your clothing in order to be Yotze and reveal your heart to be Yotze, your Chi of Kriya. Yeah.
Hach, Yigalas, Libok is this way and this way?
Yes.
So how far is it this way?
Tell below your heart.
You don't have a heart.
I don't know. Where's your heart?
You can't get your fill-in.
What?
Can you,
yes. I don't know. Tell below your heart. Isn't this my heart?
So you go here and then you go all the way down.
Yeah. Now, Agav.
It's not one straight tear?
No. What he means is Achim Galo's Libo includes two things. All the layers and all the way down till below the heart. Now, does it include a third thing? After all, Achi Galos Libo, does that mean anywhere from the neckline you can tear down Achi Galos Libo? Anyone know where your heart is? On your left, right? So, in general, in halacha, we always do mitzvos on the right, but your heart is on the left. There is a very, very rare thing someone's heart is on the right, but it's very, very, you don't want that. It's very problematic.
Use your right hand.
Okay, but says the Shach in Yotess and the Taz a little later in Sifkat and Vav, which is a few Sifim later. Kozem Arshal, the Nehigen, the Minagiz, Al Ave Emekar Mitzad Smol, the Akol Shar Krovin, Gombana Ve'ech Achem Mitzad Yamin, Ve'chein Matzasi. Says, what's the Minhag? The Tefach you tear on one layer for other relatives on the right side. All the layers are Chigalo Libo for the parents on the left side. Why? Because that's where your heart is. Is this an Ikra Hadid to tear on the left side or a Minhag? The Shach sounds a little misopic about it, but we assume it is only a Minhag. That Achigalos Libo doesn't have to be on the left. It just means till below the heart, even if it's on the right, till below the level of the heart. But the Minhag is to tear, like, if someone did it wrong, we wouldn't make them tear again. If they tore for other relatives on the left or for their parents on the right, we wouldn't make them tear again. Pashas, it is just a minhag, but the minhag is other relatives on the right and parents on the left, which means, therefore, we have three differences so far between other relatives and parents. One is a din, tefach, or till below the heart. Two is a din, outer layer versus all the layers. And three is a minhag, the right side versus the left side. Okay, the shach here is a little misopic as to whether that... whether perhaps that minhag might be a din, but we assume that it is only a minhag. Okay, what layers count for kriya?
Not the shulmantel.
And not the shulmantel. I wasn't aware you owned the shulmantel.
Not yet.
Okay. Afrak suso. Whether or not the afrak suso is coincidentally a frak is not clear. Ain't old Sarsal Krotz. I'm a foolish Gemara. You don't have to tear your Afrakeset. The only problem is, no one knows what that means. And there are, it's not clear. Rashi says it's something you wear on your head. Probably that sort of ties into the Shita of the Smag. There are two main Shitas. Yesh Mefarshim Shebegin Azeh Dovak Dimsor, an undershirt. Right? First Shita is an undershirt. This is the Sefer Ha'aruch and the Rambam. An undershirt. Yesh Mefarshim Shebegin Elyon Shebegin Kafa. It's an outer garment. Meaning it's either the innermost or the outermost. That doesn't even count as a layer. That's Potter Legamri. Why the undershirt wouldn't count? Because it's not a real clothing. It's just underwear, right? They can say it's just to absorb sweat, not to really get dressed. And why would the outer layer not count? That's not real clothing. That's just something that you put on over your clothing. And what? How do we pass? Again, Pasha meaning Shalakra Kafal Shomesa Fil of the Imov Lakra of the Imgam Cholak Shakurin Kamiza. The widespread minag is not to tear the overcoat, but to tear the undershirt. That's what the Mechaber says for Sfardim, but the Ramasim, you know, say, Eloi Nogim, Kainel, Inkar, Nachol, Shal, Pishin, Shabeg, Azeah, Bilo, Asarbel, El Yon, Shar, Begad, Koreba, Av, Imo, Shar, Mesim, Amab, Shal, Untach, Shar, Sarbel. With Ashkenaz, we're Mekel both ways. That's our Minhag. Afarkes says, could only be one of them. Yeah, but they're both a good Sfar. We're Mekel both ways in Ashkenaz, and we don't tear the undershirt in Ashkenaz, and we also don't tear the overcoat, the Sarbel Elyon. Rather, you tear everything in between them for Ava V'ima, and for other relatives, the outermost layer under the overcoat. Okay, what? There's a few things that are still unclear. One interesting thing, which is not discussed at all, which is a kula that I might not have... Yeah?
Sorry, for parents, what's the...
All the layers, except for the overcoat and the undershirt. How about tzitzis? Doesn't say anything here about tzitzis. Doesn't say anything here about tzitzis. You would think that you would have to tear them. Obviously, I don't mean tear the tzitzis. I mean, what we call tzitzis, tear the begad
avar kanfos. Back in the day, the garments were avar kanfos.
What?
Back in the day, the garments were avar kanfos.
Not back in the day of the Mechaber and the Ramah.
Right.
They didn't wear togas.
In the original.
Yeah, but I'm talking about nowadays. How about nowadays, what's unique about our tzitzis? On the one hand, it's a begad. If it's not a begad, then you're not used to the mitzvah of tzitzis. On the other hand, we only wear it for ritual purposes. How about clothing you only wear for ritual purposes? That chayiv in kriya or not? If you would ask me and a lot of our chronos, I would have said, yes, it never pot. They wore tzitzis in the days of the Rishonim, and no one potted it. So the chori or chayiv. But the Nitziv writes in the Shut Meshav Dover that you are potter, because it is only a ritual garment, and you're not chayv your ritual garments, only garments you wear for gashmius reasons. And even though many achronim were machmir, but many achronim were also mekel, the Gesher Chaim, Rav Tokachinsky, who is sort of the posik achron in Eretz Yisrael, at least in Hilchos Avelos, is mekel like the Nitziv. The Minhag Olam is like the Nitziv, that a ritual garment is putter from Kriya, and people do not tear their tzitzis.
What about a begad like tzitzis that, like a v-neck that comes down to your leg?
They would still be chayef. You know, that's just if you're like a real mizrachnik, right? Then you have it on button till here, right? So they're still chayef.
Can you say it's obvious from the original point of the Torah that the Kohanim presumably were wearing their you know, ketones and whatever that they had to wear? And they couldn't tear that, so you shouldn't have any ritual garments either.
I'm not sure. There's a few chilukim, and I don't know what they were wearing at the time.
Is there any way to say there was between tearing other people then? Because if we're not doing the...
Okay, good question. So let's, first of all, let's deal with the famous Machlokas Shachan Taz here. It's a famous Machlokas Shachan Taz here. They argue about...
Rock.
A rock. Nowadays, sometimes you'll say rock, they say rekel, right? Sometimes in diminutive. A suit jacket. What about a suit jacket? Is a suit jacket the sarbal / kappa that they pottered? Or no, they were pottering something that went over your suit jacket, but the suit jacket is chayav. That is the machlok between the shach and the taz. The shach quotes a mas ben yamin that says, that's a mantle. But a rock, you're a chayiv lekroa. The suit jacket, for the parent, you tear the suit jacket and your shirt. And for other relatives, only the suit jacket, because that's your outermost layer. The Taz disagrees. The Taz says, what are you talking about? That's not. That's exactly what they meant to potter. They pottered. That's exactly what they meant to potter. They pottered the jacket, because that's not real clothing. That's only something that... what's his lashon here? Because you know, it's not real clothing, it's only something you wear. He calls it sneas. It nothing to do with the way we use the word sneas. Meaning, that's only something you wear to shul, to this, that. You don't wear in your house. Clothing is what you wear when you're sitting in your house. What you only put on to go outside, that's called sneas. That's not clothing. So basically says the Taz, the rule is, right, what's his lashon? He has that lashon someplace, right? He has, yeah, it's a mamash elyon, da ein anam holich bo beveso. You don't wear it at home. You only wear it when you go out. Anything you don't wear at home is only a beged. Elyon is not a regular beged. And he says, and don't say, oh, we'll just be macher. No, it's a homer does it be kula, because then if someone's other relative dies, someone's sister dies, they'll only tear the jacket, and they'll think they were yotze the beged elyon, and they really weren't yotze at all, because the jacket doesn't count. And they're supposed to tear their shirt. And therefore he says, don't tear the jacket, because the measure is something you wear at home. Says the shach, I know you don't wear a jacket at home. But that's not the right yardstick. Says the shach l'nkuzah kesef. He says, no way, what are you talking about? He says, something you only wear to shul, that's one thing, etc. But harak, lo shekol ha'mishach, something you wear whenever you go out, that's a normal beged. The question had to find normal beged. The Taz says regular beggar is what you wear at home. Shach says what you wear in the street. Not only that, Misha Holich, Mashuk, Lorak, and now you look at him. Who would walk in the street without a suit jacket? If you would walk in the suit without a suit jacket, it's like, nah, you'd be considered Minap Chusen. There are many communities like that nowadays, where you can't walk in the street in your shirt sleeves. You can, but you're not stark. If you're not mechubed, it's not proper to walk in the street in your shirt sleeves. That's walking the street undressed. You have to walk in the street with a jacket. There are plenty of shivas where they teach them that, only bums walk in the street in their shirt sleeves. It's like chewing gum. A dignified person doesn't walk in the street without a jacket, says the shach. The shach says the measure of an outer garment is what you wear in the street. And therefore, suit jacket, the measure of a real beged, and therefore suit jacket is chayiv in kriya. That is the machlokes in the shach and the taz. Halacha l'maisa, the minhag is, like the shach, that we consider a suit jacket to be regular clothing. And therefore, let's take it to the two cases. The minhag is like the shach. Oh, the shirt only costs $25, and the jacket, once you rip the jacket, then nowadays you're not going to re-sew it and wear it out and wear it again, and then the pants also go, and that costs $300. Nonetheless, if someone's parent passes away, you've probably seen this. You go to a shiva house, you see the guy sitting, you go to, a proper Haredi shiva house, where the guy wouldn't sit shiva without a suit jacket. He would sit in his house stam without a suit jacket when he's sitting shiva, the whole oilam's coming. Wears a suit jacket, or at the funeral, he tears his suit jacket and he tears his shirt. Because we hold like the shach against the taz. It costs a lot of money. Okay, but the halach is like the shach against the taz to tear the suit jacket.
And you only use the jacket for...
However, here it gets a little tricky. What about when another relative passes away? What about when another relative passes away? Why does it get tricky? Because according to the shach, you have to tear the suit jacket. And if you don't tear the outermost layer, there's at least a minority opinion you're not yotze. But according to the taz, if you tear the suit jacket, you're definitely not yotze. Because you have to tear the shirt because you're only wearing one layer. So the suit jacket doesn't count as a layer. So then it becomes very tricky what to do when you're dealing with a different relative. If you only tear the suit jacket, then according to the taz, you weren't yotze. If you only tear the shirt, then according to the shach, you certainly didn't do what's proper, and you're not 100% sure that you were a yotze. So what should you do if someone's other relative passed away? I think it could be that the most common minhag nowadays is... I'm not sure exactly what the minhag is now. And what makes this more complicated? I'll tell you what makes this more complicated. Is that none of these books mean anything. So it all depends where you live. Meaning, Amir Tz Hashem everyone's dream should come true, and they should, you know, they should become a proper full Haredi in Eretz Yisrael and move to a different community. But meanwhile, in our community, everyone walks in the street without a jacket in their shirt sleeves. You know, where I live, whether it's rabbis, plumbers, lawyers, doctors, they all walk in the street without a suit jacket, and no one's embarrassed, right? It's not considered minab chusim to wear a suit jacket, even a lot of yeshiva places nowadays. Certainly in America, you know, a yeshiva bacher has a suit jacket, and he puts it on 3 times a day for davening. The suit jacket is like a talis and tefillin, but a talis and tefillin, I don't want to fitterize. You only wear once a day for davening. Well, a suit jacket, you wear 3 times a day for davening. But walking in the street, the Stam Yeshiva Bacher in America doesn't think twice about walking down the street. Doesn't think he's being pchusim if he walks around the street in his shirt sleeves. A Stam Bala Yeshiva Shabala Boss in America walks around the street in his shirt sleeves. It's just for shul. Shul is a shul mantel. Shah says something only for shul. So jackets are very, very tricky nowadays. Jackets are very tricky nowadays because it could be that the Shach would admit to the Taz that in the modern community, a jacket doesn't count as a beged because people only wear it for shul or only wear it for special occasions, as tznius, only wear it for weddings or for shul or etc. Especially nowadays, when I was a kid, if you were a mechubed person, you wore a suit to work. Right? When I was a kid, basically, if your father didn't wear a suit to work, your family was nebuch. Because obviously your father was not a proper, dignified, successful person. He didn't wear a suit to work. That's when I was a kid. I mean, even my own father stopped wearing a suit to work at some point before he retired. Just like, his job didn't change. The world changed, right? I don't know, when I was a little kid, he wore a suit to work every day, and he was like, I don't know, a regular guy. Then he got promoted, and he started wearing a polo shirt to work because the world changed. And now even, I'm not saying everyone, there's still people who wear suits to work, but even bankers. My father's a retired banker. Even bankers stopped wearing suits to work. A lot of people stopped wearing suits to work.
For my son, they would have to wear, if they were wearing like those, you know, like, I guess, vests that they wear that are, you know, that are, then they still have to do for you.
What vest?
Like the, you know what I'm talking about.
Only Hasidim wear vests.
Different Hasidims.
Oh,
it's temporary.
In any case, by the way, I think it's pasha that a winter coat is pasha from Korea. I've never seen anyone turn Korean a winter coat. That's obviously not a real beged. That, right, according to the Taz, you don't wear a winter coat at home. You're insane. And according to the Shach, of course you're walking the street without a winter coat. It just depends if it's cold outside or hot outside. But no, wear a winter coat. Outside for dress, you only wear winter coat if it's cold. So, push in a winter coat, you don't have to tear. The only suffix is something that's for a suit jacket. La nias daiti, at least in the modern community nowadays, I think that we should be machmir, like the minhag olam, like the shach, to tear both jacket and that's what everyone does, both the suit jacket and the shirt for other v'imo. But for shar krovim, better to tear only the shirt, and that way, according to the Taz or Yotzei. According to the Shach, probably also because nowadays we walk around without jackets all the time. And even if you're supposed to tear your jacket, according to 90% of our Chron, we're Yotzei with a Beged Tachton anyway. So certainly the safest option is to just tear your shirt. Says the Gesher Chaim, he gives you a good chap. What's a good chap? If someone's at the funeral for Shar Krovin, the best thing to do is take off their suit jacket. And then they can only tear their shirt, and that is a beged elyon, and that way you are yotzei. That way you're yotzei lekule alma. Okay, that's also a good chumra if you go to the kotel and you're tear kriya. If you go to the kotel and tear kriya, and you're just going to tear your shirt, it's a good thing to take off your suit jacket. And that way you're yotzei mor lemahadrin lekule alma. I don't know what the Minigolem. Minigolem is that no one cares about the Mesa Mitchell anyway. No one cares for you at the hotel. I don't know what the Minigolem when people who care about the Mesa Mitchell is. Okay, so halacha lemaisa again, for parents, we're machmer like the Shach, tear all the layers, including suit jacket. For other relatives, there's different minhagim. I think that nowadays in the modern community, at least, one should only tear the shirt. And the most mahodar thing would be to take off your jacket, and then you're only wearing one layer and tear your shirt.
how like specific a community can you get? Like if somebody says, in my particular show, nobody wears a jacket. I happen to be wearing. They say they happen to be wearing the funeral of their parent, and so I'll tear it.
So again, that's what I mean. I mean, some people would say yes, we hold like the shach, but other people say no. In our community, the shach wouldn't have said it. Obviously, you wear it for your parents' funeral. That doesn't mean you wear it all the time. But halacha lemaisa, you shouldn't be makel against the shach for parents because there's a clear yotze l'choladeos. However, for other relatives where there's no neither side is safer than the other, I think what you do like the Taz and the most mahadur would be to take off your jacket.
Sorry, but why is taking off the jacket going to help? That the kicks in.
So that's a big machlokas, but it's based on this Gilyan Marsha who says you can change your clothing. Oh, the chiyuv kicked in, you can change your clothing and then tear. So likewise, you can take off clothing and then tear. Meaning, not everyone agrees with this Gilyan Marsha. Some people say, no, you can't change your clothing. Once the chiyuv kicks in, that's what you have to tear. But most achronim, you want a list, you can find a list of achronim on this in the Pnei Baruch, footnote 46, that says the Stechemet and the Chikki Leib and the Chachmas Adam, the Maharil and the Gesher Chaim agreed with the Gilyan Marsha, but the Hartzvi and the Maharil Diskin were Machmir. Okay, but there's a clear majority that says, nope. Even though the chiv kicked in, you have the right to change what you're picked to tear before you tear.
I was watching the Levaya for Senator Joe Lieberman today, and I noticed that they tore Kriya with the shirt off, but then I guess one of the kids put his jacket back on afterwards. So is that appropriate to you, or do you have to tear Kriya?
One of the kids?
Yes.
That would be a little tricky because for other the emo, even after you tear kriya during all shiva, you still have to tear a new kriya every time you put on clothing. So
unless
I'm not
you think that a jacket is not clothing.
Right, but then why did they take it off? For parents that daf wouldn't work, we'll see. For other relatives, once you get kriya, you're done. For parents, all 7 days there's a new chiv kriya on each clothing. So I'm not sure how that would help. I don't know. You have to ask his rabbi. Was it Feigl's father-in-law? Was he the rabbi? Then we can ask him.
Yes, but I think maybe he has put it on from his own volition.
Yeah, it's also I don't know exactly. Yeah.
After the
yes, the Feigl's father-in-law is also a very smart rabbi who knows what to tell people to do and what not to tell people to do. So you can't necessarily derive the sock for all cases from one case.
In sensitive cases, can we point people to the Taz?
I mean, let's say someone's father dies and they really don't want to tear their suit jacket and they're in the modern community. Then, yeah, they can rely on the Taz, but that's not the standard practice. And also, like, it's a little distasteful to be cheap with keep it up at aim, but okay, you have to know your case. Okay, let's just do a little more. Yud Aleph. Echad Eish ve'echad Eisha shavim l'nir kriya. Men and women have an equal chiyuv of kriya. Ela sha'isha karas ha'tachton u'machzir l'achreya v'chozer t'karas ha'elyon. But the problem is, this is a tznias problem for women. So, okay, there's a machlokas. Beis Yosef brings a machlokas, whether we're worried about Yetzirah or not. After all, in time of funerals, maybe we're not worried about Yetzirah. We paskin, I think we can all say that this sock seems appropriate, at least Bezman is that even though when people are in Avelos, their Yetzirah is subdued, that's the Avelim. The other 500 people who showed up, their Yetzirah is in full power. Just because their friend's father passed away doesn't mean that, you know, that they're really so, crushed that they can't even think about a Yetzirah anymore. Far
and
from it.
The fact that we don't have to do Kriya for Gusher anymore, right?
So, lemaisa, we assume that it's accepted by all the poskim that lemaisa were makel for women that they shouldn't reveal themselves in order to avoid hirhur and yetzirah. Okay, the shachir says even if they show their undershirt. That is pritzas, okay, you have to use your judgment when, you know, which kind of shirts are pritzas, which kind aren't, but what do you do for a woman, right? The woman shouldn't go around, unclothed. The man, you could see a little of his chest after kriya, that's fine. The man doesn't have to have tznius then. He's an avil. In the old days, they used to bare their whole shoulders. But what about a woman? So if a woman's other relative passed away, tell her to wear two layers. Right? This is like, so you have to be proactive. If a woman's other relative passed away, tell her to come to the funeral in two layers. That way she rips the outer layers. No problem of princess because she still has the inner layer. But what if her parent passes away? She has to rip all her layers.
Not an undershirt. Wouldn't that not be a problem?
So not an undershirt. So the shot says, but if you can see her undershirt, that's also princess. Again, it might depend on what kind of undershirt. But again, if the undershirt is for fashion and not, you know, part of the outfit and not just to absorb sweat, then lahore, that would be a real layer. So the Shogunar says very pashut. She wears two layers, and what if it's her parents? She has to tear both of them. It's a special kula. She can tear the inner layer, then turn it around 180 degrees so the tears in her in the back, and then tear the outer layer. And then she'll have torn all her layers, but the tear of the outer layer will be in front, the tear of the inner layer will be in the back, because she rotated the shirt 180 degrees. And then you won't be able to see her skin. And even though a man wouldn't be able to, in fact, he wasn't mamish begala libo, but we compromise that for tznius, for a woman. Says the Aruch HaShulchan here in Seif Yud. Says the Aruch HaShulchan here in Seif Yud. What if you're wearing some modern clothing which you can't necessarily turn around so easily? Like, basically, what would you tell a woman? Wear, like, I don't know, like a sweater set, two layers. Tear the inner layer, Achi Gal's Libo on the left. Go to the bathroom, you know, take it off, turn it around, put the outer layer back on, and then come back out and tear the outer layer, and now you'll have torn both layers, but you can't see anything. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, nowadays, not all our clothing is so reversible. Not all clothing is reversible nowadays. So what do you do nowadays when not all clothing is reversible? So it's still going to be pritzas. Doesn't sound so safe to me. Says the Aruch HaShulchan bikula, even for parents, she can only tear the outer layer for tznius. I mean, if she can't think of another trick, she can only tear the outer layer even for parents. And that is the minhag in a lot of places, that even for parents, she only tears the outer layer to avoid pritzas. Says Rav Rimon in his sefer, he says, but when she gets home, she still has to, tear all the layers. Let her tear the inner layer, safety pin it. Let her tear both layers at home, safety pin the inner layer, like, you know, 2 inches over so you don't see anything. And then you'll see the outer layer is ripped and the inner layer is safety pinned, so you can't see her skin. And she should still, when she gets home, she should still do that. Another option the Bar Shulchan suggests here is that even in the funeral home, if there's an inner room, she could like tear one layer, she could tear two layers and safety pin one of them, tear inside, or what if she's only wearing one layer? Then she could tear one layer and safety pin it, you know, like not safety pin it where it is, then it's a lot of holes, but like pull it over 3 inches and then safety pin it. So you don't see her skin through the hole between the safety pins. Halacha l'maisa, bottom line, halacha l'maisa, what does this mean? This means that a woman should not reveal herself for kriya, that basically the best option for shar krovim is just wear two layers, tear the top layer, and you'll have a full tznius inner bottom layer. If, let's say, she only has one layer, or it's of the emo, then the options are either to like tear in private, and even though they tear in private and then safety pin it so that no one can see her skin, or to do what the Shulchan Aruch says, or if you don't really have a great option, only tear the outer layer And then when she gets home later, you know, tear the inner layer as well, and then safety pin it before the guests come over.
If you were at the funeral with someone, she only was wearing one layer.
If I was at the funeral and a woman was only wearing one layer, then it's good for the rabbi to tell them in advance to come with a layered look, as it were. But if I was at the funeral and the woman was only wearing one layer, then I would make a judgment call, either like send her into like an inner chamber with another woman to tear and safety pin it if I thought that that would not be revealing. Or the other option would be just to tell her to tear Kriya at home. But I wouldn't have her like stand like undressed at the funeral.
Can you give her another shirt?
Or someone can give her another shirt. I mean, that's, you know, that would be the best. Yeah, have spare shirts in the funeral home, as it were. Again, not all women will like that idea. I can see that.
There's no thing that has to be for the Avel's clothing.
No, doesn't have to belong to you. You have to have permission to tear it. You can't be a thief, but it doesn't have to belong to you. That's clear. We'll see later. Someone borrows a shirt and they have permission to tear, they can, they're Yotze. If they don't have permission to tear, then it's Betzvah Bavera, and not only is it Usher, they're not Yotze.
So, meaning, doing that, I'm watching this even after the burial?
Yes.
And,
the idea of it.
Rabbi said,
so either there is some reversible clothing nowadays. There's some clothing that you can turn around backwards. You know, even if the neck is like a little uncomfortable backwards, I assume once there's a tear, you have more give. So you could still do what it says in Shulchan Aruch nowadays with some clothing. But I don't know, I'm not an expert in clothing.
If turn around the shirt is mutter, so clearly it's a din in the Maisa Kriya has been laved to the lave. But once that happens, it doesn't have to be sitting there. So why does it just pull the undershirt over, tear it by the lave, and then when it snaps back to its place because you pulled it over, so then it's sitting on the right side.
Interesting. Maybe you could do that also. I'm a little skeptical. Like if a woman tears like one layer here and one layer there, will it end up still revealing her chest nonetheless? I'm not a bucky enough in clothing. I think it would work halakhically. I'm just not sure if it would work practically.
Isn't safety pinning against the Ramah and Tesvav? Not putting like a needle through the rip?
Yes, but that's because you forgot the continuation of the last line of Machaber of Tesvav. Right? You see the last line of the Machaber of Tesvav?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, basically what he's pointing out is that you're not a person's not allowed a safety pin their tear. That's only for men. A woman is allowed a safety pin because of tzvius.
Or if the man feels like revealed and uncomfortable.
No, only a woman. The man should be a man.
Okay.
is there no solution of undershirts for women? Like, why don't they just wear an undershirt?
So again, the Shach says it's not a solution because it even treats us to see her undershirt.
Oh, okay.
But it depends on the circumstances. You know, there's, again, I'm not a bucky in this. I can imagine that sometimes the Shach would be right. And you know, some undershirts are very flimsy. And it's treats us to see them. So in Lemaisa, we shouldn't have preetzus. Bottom line is we shouldn't have preetzus, even if we have to compromise / delay, etc. Kriya, tznius overrides the mitzvah of Kriya. Okay, that's about all I have to say for Sif Yud Aleph. We'll have to continue Amir Tz Hashem next time. So to be continued.
Karya, big
board
for you.
Yep,
time for board. The